Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition, NXT In Your House Review Edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's NXT In Your House pay-per-view at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. We almost didn't have this show, folks, and I'll tell you why. Because I really didn't think I was going to have that much to say about this. We don't normally do a heavy NXT review here anyway, and this pay-per-view didn't particularly look like anything special unless you were taken in by the Ted DiBiase angle, which I was to an extent. And, of course, unless you're into that five-man match. But it turns out I might have quite a bit to say. So I'm glad we did book this show. Let me first say this. It was good to see Todd Pettengill back. Todd Pettengill did a remarkable job. And I want you to understand something. Todd Pettengill's a guy who was how many years removed from the WWE? He didn't stumble over anyone's name. He understood the angles that were going on. He was the exact opposite of Adnan Virk, who claims to be, you know, a sports broadcaster and didn't have a clue to what he was doing when he sat down at that booth. Not a clue. Now, Pettengill actually did better than about 90% of the people they've ever brought in for this. So this, I hope they use him on a regular basis, to be honest. He added a little bit of that old school feel to NXT that actually, in my opinion, helped the pay-per-view out. So we started out with MSK, who are the tag team champions, obviously, and Bronson Reed, who is the North American champion, and they're going against El Legado del Fantasma, and all the belts are on the line. In other words, whoever loses, it's winner take all. Well, the reason I did not like this stipulation is we already know the situation. Bronson Reed just won the belt. He's not losing it, and neither are MSK, who remind me, ironically, of the Young Bucks, which instantly makes me not like them all that much. And even though I was rooting for Rod Fantasmo, I knew they weren't going to win. I already knew they weren't going to win. Good match, but zero suspense because we knew very much that they were going to lose this match. No further angles to it, just they lost, and that's it. It is what it is. It was an okay match. Nothing technically wrong with it, other than there was no suspense factor. There was no furthering a feud. There was no extra angles thrown in. It was just a good, strong opening match, Mike, and I guess that's what they wanted.
Right, and I particularly enjoyed that match, though. I mean, think about it. You got five guys that are these smaller guys that can go. I mean, yeah, he's quick and he's swift and stuff like that. But he's not these other five guys. Is Bronson, you know? And it's like, you know, there was a difference, and he was the difference in the match because he was the power aspect of the match, but those other guys, I mean, when they were in there with each other, I mean, boom, 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 move, 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 just seamless, very quick, very snappy, very, just there, just on point, you know?
Well, I'm glad you said it, because that's going to play into something, a complaint, actually, I have later on, about this NXT pay-per-view. But yeah, I mean, listen, it was a good opening match. I just don't see this being something that's going to attract a ton of fans. I think MSK, they're good workers. Bronson Reed is a very good worker. all of Phantasmo's good workers. I just don't know if they've got that extra something that attracts a ton of fans, Todd.
Hey, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about this, the Phantasmo, whatever you call them. You know, like you said, it's the match was okay. It was just not what I expected to be.
I think it would be better if they were, I don't know, there has to be a little bit more fleshing out of these characters, because then that match would be more highly contested. It's NXT's job to make you think it is very, very, very likely, or at least extremely possible, that Legado del Fantasma is going to win this match. I never for one minute thought that, not from the minute they announced it. There was nothing that they did to make us as fans think maybe they are going to. And that's your job. So as good of the match as it can be, the booking failed because you're supposed to at least make the fans believe this could potentially go either way. Never one time did I feel that way. Never one time. Xia Li defeats Mercedes Martinez. A little bit of revenge, I guess, for the Mae Young Classic. I'm happy to see Mercedes Martinez back. I don't know what this angle is with her servant or whatever the hell he's supposed to be coming down and just getting beaten up by women every time I see him. And I don't know what this thing is with the weird, oriental person, woman, obviously, watching from a distance and getting into a physical confrontation with Mercedes after her loss that literally led to her being, grabbed by the throat like it was the Undertaker. I don't know where this is going. All I know is they had a live crowd there and you could hear a pin drop. So I don't think this is going to help the women's division either. I don't know. I don't know where to go with this. You've got the best women's division probably in the world in NXT. I mean, NXT really does have a very, very good, very strong women's division. And I'm not sure you want to pull this nonsense with some mystic oriental persona who's just, invincible, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon style, House of Flying Daggers style. I don't know. I don't know if that's where you want to go with this. I hope it's not where you're going to go with it. Match itself, decent, okay. I think both participants, that's certainly not their best matches. But it was, it was serviceable, Mike. It was okay.
Yeah, it was serviceable. And look, that whatever that kick she hit her with, Mercedes, I guess you could say Mercedes Martinez is a consummate pro. When Xia Li hit her with that kick, that spinning roundhouse heel kick or whatever it was that she hit her with, Martinez went down like a ton of bricks.
Yes.
Yeah,
and that's not always the case, as we're going to get into in a minute. That's not always the case with NXT. Good for that. Now, the match that I was most looking forward to was LA Knight and Cameron Grimes, winner to get the vacant $1 million championship match, belt in a ladder match. Good match. The right person won. I know a lot of people wanted Cameron Grimes to win, saying he has more charisma with the $1 million man. There's more chemistry there. There's more, whatever. There's a feel to it. Well, yeah, you're right, because they shot all those vignettes with him, and there is a feel to it. But I think the feel to it is not to be buddies with him. I think the feel to it is to have him as an adversary, because that's kind of what they did with all of these skits, right? He was Cameron Grimes' adversary. He wasn't his mentor. He might have been trying to teach him a lesson about how you act when you're rich, but he wasn't really being his mentor so much as he was being an adversary. And that's what the appeal was. Cameron Grimes was getting aggravated with a $1 million man constantly pissing in his Kool-Aid, so to speak. Now, L.A. Knight, the former Eli Drake, they're much, much more along the lines of Ted DiBiase. So I think the right person won. quite honestly. Now, this is going to continue. I'm sure this is going to continue a feud with the Million Dollar Man. LA Knight, and Cameron Grimes. And I think that's the best you can hope for. What was the other alternative? Cameron Grimes wins, and you're going to start a feud with who? LA Knight? And then LA Knight is sort of a face or something? It wouldn't have worked. I don't think it would have worked. So as much as I like Cameron Grimes and the job he's doing, Mike, I do think he had to lose this match, and LA Knight is a much better million-dollar champion for at least the time being.
Right. And look, we know what Cameron Grimes' thing is. I mean, he is Jed Clampett. That's what he is. You know, and look, L.A. Knight, his name says it all, right? L.A., right?
Yep.
What's in L.A.? Movie stars, Hollywood, rich people, you know, generally speaking, that's what's in L.A. So, yeah, you're right. The right person won, and hell, I would love to see this continue with basically Ted DiBiase being, yeah, maybe not so much a manager, but giving him guidance, in other words. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I think he's going to
continue.
I think he's going to. I think that's where this is going. I think where this is going is Ted DiBiase is going to be giving guidance to L.A. Knight and saying how he makes a perfect million-dollar champion, and Cameron Grimes is going to be the guy that says, Ted DiBiase kind of pissed in my Kool-Aid all this time. I'm going to get that belt just to aggravate Ted DiBiase. And a lot of people are going to root for Cameron Grimes to do that. So I think this was probably, A, it is the best angle of the night, and probably the best angle going on in NXT right now. And B, it has legs because now you can go further with it, and there's some branches on the tree to make this interesting that people want to see. So, Todd, I think the right person won, and I think we're going to see more of Cameron Grimes and his effort to try to win this million-dollar belt.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said, with this million-dollar championship belt. They had L.A. Knight, formerly known as Eli Drake, to become the million-dollar champion, and I think they also made a right decision on that. And I think it would be great to see that belt be defended on. Not in just NXT, maybe on Raw and SmackDown as well, as a lower mid.
You never know. I mean, they may add some NXT matches to one of these pay-per-views. You never know. I just think that Cameron Grimes makes a better adversary for Ted DiBiase than he would make an ally. So I think for that reason, it was a very good decision to have. I keep wanting to call him Eli Drake, L.A. Knight. Win this. By the way, this may be one of the worst name changes in the history of professional wrestling. I mean, Eli Drake at least sounds like that could potentially be somebody's name. L.A. Knight sounds like a minor league soccer team. I don't like it. I didn't like it from the beginning. I don't like it now. And every time he has to say, L.A. Knight is, I'm like, God, that's just terrible. That's just terrible. I don't like it. I wish to hell they would have came up with something better. But be that as it may, Raquel Gonzalez defeats Ember Moon to retain the NXT Women's Championship. This was a much, much better match, I think, than the first women's match. And they left some branches on the tree to this match. I knew Ember Moon wasn't going to win. And again, this is part of the problem. I knew Ember Moon wasn't going to win, so rooting for her is fruitless. So all you can really do is wait for the inevitable. That's a problem. That's always a problem. I don't care if it's one thing if it's a squash match. It's one thing if you're just trying to get somebody to build somebody else up so you have, you know, a monster like a Brock Lesnar against a Kurt Hawkins. Well, we know what's going to happen. But the idea isn't that we think Kurt Hawkins is going to win. The idea is that, wow, look what Lesnar can do. But when you have a match that's on a pay-per-view, it's supposed to be competitive, let alone for a title, you have got to make that appear as though that contender can really honestly win, and that's the direction you're kind of hinting toward. That way, smart fans say, oh, they're kind of hinting like they're going to give her the belt or him the belt. And then at least you have some doubt in your mind. There's no doubt in my mind. No doubt in my mind. So good match, but again, outcome, it's like the opening match. Outcome not in question, so how much can you really get into it? But what I was thinking during this whole aftermath of this match is, why in the world is Shotzi Blackheart not up either on the main roster, and you should have kept Ruby Riott and had her join the Riott squad, which would have been fantastic. Or send Ruby Riott down there and make her her tag team partner. Those two would have fit like a hand in a glove, and you would have had a great, great tag team. Let Ember Moon go out on her own. That tag team is perfect. No, you can't do that. So, I mean, Mike, it was a good match, but again, it's hurt by the fact that there's the outcome's not in doubt.
The outcomes are not now, and they gave us what I expected is the outcome all hinged upon, well, she's going to hit her move, and then somehow or another, what's her name, is going to put the foot on the rope or whatever, or do something to help Gonzalez win.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Very predictable.
Exactly what happened.
Yeah, extraordinarily predictable. That's the problem, and that was the problem with a couple of things in this pay-per-view. Extraordinarily predictable. It was a very short pay-per-view, by the way. We only have one match left. Only one left. Karrion Kross, NXT champion, versus Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Pete Dunne, Johnny Gargano, in a five-way match. Now, this is where, to me, and I know this is going to be probably pretty controversial. A lot of people are going to say, oh, but whatever. This points out the problem with NXT to me more than anything else. I watched this match extraordinarily carefully three times. Three. Because I wanted to see for sure if I'm right about something, and I am. And here's the problem. I don't know if any of these guys, Johnny Gargano, Pete Dunne, Kyle O'Reilly, or Adam Cole, have ever properly been educated on how to fight a much, much, much bigger person. But if they have been, they forgot it. And the second problem is Karrion Kross can't hang with these guys. And the reason he can't hang with these guys is he's too big and he doesn't have the stamina. So when you have this type of match, you have to do stupid things like throw a man who's supposed to be a monster through a door that doesn't even look like it hurts and take him out of the game for 5 minutes so that you can do all your great moves. And the match can be fast-paced and up-tempo. Well, number one, that makes Karrion Kross look weak. And number two, it establishes a really big difference. And you say to yourself, see, these guys can go with each other. Much like what Mike was saying in the beginning of this show with the smaller guys in the opening match, these guys can really go, and all their moves are hit precisely, and it's move, boom, move, 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 move. Yes, it is. But when Karrion Kross gets back in there, they don't know what to do. And a large amount of Karrion Kross's offense looked like garbage. Not because he's garbage. I know I heard a lot of people say, oh, he don't belong, he's terrible. No, they were underselling him. Every one of them. Even everybody's favorite there, Adam Cole. Jesus, he'll get hit with a clothesline that turns him upside down. He'll land, and 2 seconds later, he's like, I'm up and I'm bouncing around. That's supposed to be a monster that hit you. Now, by the way, Karrion Kross, I don't know whether it's intentional and they told him to do it or he's just done it on his own, but Karrion Kross has ruined his own character. Coming out of that dark foreboding whatever with the black and white and the raven flying and the weird girl and everything was cool, very gothy, very dark, very whatever. The minute he took the microphone, he can't handle it. And now he's just saying things like yelling at Adam Cole, come back here, you son of a bitch. I'm not done with you yet, because that's what very gothic, dark, evil people say. No, that's what a sailor says during a barroom brawl. So now you've become just a barroom brawler. You're not any dark, mysterious, evil, whatever. You should have never been given the microphone, ever been given the microphone. Because the minute you were given the microphone, your mystique was gone because you have no clue how to play this character. Zero clue how to play him. All you know how to play is a big, strong, mean guy. That's not what Karrion Kross is supposed to be. Yeah, he's supposed to be a big, strong, mean guy, but he's also supposed to be some kind of a dark, sinister, eerie presence. He's not. He's not at all. Not at all, which means that his valet is worthless because she was the one who was actually permeating this. Now she looks worthless. So he'll get in there and listen. I'm going to tell you right now, here's the main problem. Karrion Kross sold more than anybody else in that match. And he's the guy who you would have forgiven for underselling. Okay? He's the guy that if Adam Cole kicks him and he doesn't go down, you say, okay, well, that sort of makes sense. No, he's selling everybody. Then when he hits them, they're underselling him. Because obviously they have been taught, no, everyone is equal. It doesn't matter if you're 6'8" and 300 pounds or you're 5'8" and 100 pounds. When you hit the person, you react the same way. Wrong. Now, Pete Dunne is one of my favorite wrestlers, and I'm about to take him to task. How dare you no-sell a back suplex from Karrion Kross? How dare you? What are you, Superman? That's a guy four times your size. And he back suplex you with all your might, and you pop up like, no, I'm the Hulk. You don't think that hurts his career? You don't think that hurts his mystique? You don't think that hurts his offense? I can't keep Pete Dunne down. And he's the size of my leg. Oh, but you want him to sell you, right? This match was good when Karrion Kross was out of it. Because all these guys know how to fight people about that size, and they know how each other's moves, and they know each other very well. And as soon as Karrion Kross got in, and it's not Kross's fault, as soon as Kross got in, they get confused. Because they think their offense has to be equal to his, and it's not supposed to be. The whole idea behind this match, if you're a good booker, is I don't want one single person who's fighting Karrion Kross on his own to get too much offense at all in on him. You can hit him and stuff. He's not selling it much. I'm not saying totally stand there like you're impervious, but I'm saying don't oversell it. As opposed to maybe two of us are going to have to team up like they did when they tried to put him through the table and failed. Two or three of us, maybe even all of us. See, that would have been great if they said, look, we hate each other. We get it, but you're going to have to take this guy out of the equation or we're not winning. See, if they all ganged up on Karrion Kross in the beginning, my booking would have been this. Every single one of them gang up on Karrion Kross in the beginning, and he's fighting them off pretty successfully. But eventually, four guys are wearing him down. Then take him outside. Don't throw him through the door. Throw him through the goddamn window of that building. And then for 5 minutes, you guys fight each other. Like, then the idea would have been we eliminated the biggest threat and the champion. Now we're going to fight each other. Then when you guys are in a much more weakened state, he comes back. Then it makes sense. Yes, he won the match. Yes, it makes him look good that he beat the top four guys in one night. But he oversold everything that you did. At one point, this man, who's supposed to be this dark, mysterious person, ruthless, maniacal, psychotic person, is begging Pete Dunne not to break his finger. No, please, no, like a cowardly heel. You think that's good? Because I don't. You think that's what The Undertaker would have done? You think that's what Kane would have done? You think that's what any of these people who were somewhat similar to his genre of character would have done? No, don't bring my finger out. They wouldn't have done that. They wouldn't have done that. So you've ruined Karrion Kross. And it's very obvious to me that most of the people in NXT don't know how to deal with that type of a character. You do it with Bronson Reed because even though he's big, or you can do it with Keith Lee because even though he's big, they're very agile, and their idea behind them is, yes, they're powerful, but they're also agile and good wrestlers, so that works. But Karrion Kross's gimmick is not that. Karrion Kross's gimmick is just, I'm mean, semi-impervious to pain, and I'm here to just fuck you up. And they don't know how to sell that. Obviously, they don't, or Pete Dunne doesn't pop up from a back suplex like Hulk Hogan. I don't know who told Pete Dunne he's Hulk Hogan. But I know this. If my character is supposed to be like Karrion Kross's, and Pete Dunne pulls that on me, we're going to have words in the locker room. Because that's the absolute reverse psychology that drives professional wrestling. Watch Shawn Michaels against The Undertaker someday. Watch it close. Watch him against Sid. And even against Sid, it's probably even better because he really had to carry Sid through a lot of that match. He didn't have to carry The Undertaker. But watch him. Shawn Michaels would come out, throw 15, 20 punches to which Sid is selling a tiny bit, but not much. He's backing up a little. Shawn's wasting all his energy just backing Sid into the corner with punches, and Sid will swat him away like a fly, and Shawn Michaels will go flying over the top rope and crash and burn. Then Shawn will try to take out his leg, do as much offense as he can. It's Sid who's underselling. It's Sid who, my God, they finally got him down. He finally was able to get him down. He's given him all his great moves. He even gives him a super kick, and nope, Sid's popping back up, and Shawn Michaels is like, my God, what do I have to do? The man is a friggin' monster. That's how you handle that. It wasn't Sid doing all the selling. It wasn't Shawn popping up from Sid's powerbomb. That never happened. And you know why that didn't happen? Because Shawn Michaels understands the psychology of professional wrestling, and he takes a look at Sid and says, I know what I got to sell. I know exactly what I got to do. I'm fighting a monster. It's David and Goliath, and I'm David, and I don't have a slingshot, so I'm going to have to do everything I can. I'm overselling everything he does to make him look like the most powerful guy on the planet. Even if I'm winning, eventually it's because I wear him down and wear him down and wear him down, and he gets tired because he's a big guy and he can't hang with my endurance. So I'm the fly tapping on the guy. Eventually I'm wearing him down and wearing him down. But if he gets me, I got to sell it like he's killing me. Sid has got to sell, I know I could break this guy in half if I can get him for an extended period of time, but he's able to get away. And he's running me out of gas. And eventually I'm wearing down. And as I wear down, I'm getting weaker. And now he's hitting me with his major offense. Look at AJ Styles and Brock Lesnar in one of the best matches Brock Lesnar ever had. What was that all about? AJ Styles was getting manhandled. He couldn't do anything against Brock Lesnar's power, but he wore him out. And then when the announcers are saying, look at Lesnar, he's red-faced, he's puffing, and here comes AJ Styles, because he's not. And now all these things that didn't hurt in the first 5 minutes of the match when AJ tried them, they're starting to hurt now because he's out of gas. He punched himself out. That's not what happened last night. These guys were going toe-to-toe with Karrion Kross like he was their size. Yeah, a couple of times they sold something good from him, but not nowhere near enough. Karrion Kross is the odd man out of there, and he does not belong in NXT. And the reason he does not belong in NXT, and I've heard fans say he doesn't belong even in the WWE's roster. He has to stay in NXT because he's so green and he's so this and he's so that he'll have to stay there for years until he makes the roster. I say just the opposite. Bring him up right now. The matches he's going to have to do, 3 and 4 minute matches, are perfect for him. In NXT, these type of matches are not perfect for him. He can't do it. That's number one. He can't stay there 30 minutes. That's why you had to throw him through the door and he had to stay out for 10 minutes. He can't do them. So bring him up where he can do 5 minute matches, 7 minute matches, 8 minute matches, and slow paced. Bring him up where Vince McMahon is going to insist, if you're 5'8", you better be selling a back suplex from this guy. Nobody did that with Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman didn't hit you with his power slam and you pop up like you're Hulk Hogan. Nobody did that. And at least Hulk Hogan was huge. See, that's the thing. Can you imagine if Rey Mysterio did that? Oh, he's got him in the running power slam. Braun Strowman has him in the running power slam. Boom, and Rey Mysterio just pops up shaking his head. No. Don't you think that would destroy Braun Strowman's credibility? That's what Pete Dunne did to the Karrion Kross last night. It's terrible. So while we can talk about individual spots in the match and say, oh, man, these four guys, when they got together, they did some awesome spots. They did. Because they're all used to fighting people about their size. But as soon as Karrion Kross got in, that match changed dramatically because they weren't really sure of the psychology of it. And it's a very simple psychology. Karrion Kross is the monster in the match. If you get any offense in at all, he's going to undersell it. If two or three of you gang up on him, he might sell it. Individually, he's going to undersell your moves. Not totally no-sell them, but he's going to undersell them. And you got to oversell everything he does. In other words, if you hit him with seven or eight chops and a few kicks and everything, and it just backs him into the corner, if he swats you with his hand, you better do two somersaults and act like you got hit by a cannonball. So the announcers can say, do you understand the power of that man? He just swatted him away like a mosquito. And that's not just anybody. That's former champions. That's how you sell Karrion Kross. Karrion Kross's career took a hit last night, a huge, huge, colossal hit, because the people he counted on undersold him. He destroyed his own persona, or they told him to. I don't know which one, but basically his persona is gone. And he's proven he can't hang with the NXT style, which is fairly fast-paced and longer matches. That's not his forte. So, Mike, I don't know. I mean, I think if you're going to do anything with him, he's got to come up immediately to the WWE.
Right, and that's the thing. Couple things here. One, when they put him, why didn't he pre-crack that table? That table, he should have hit the floor through that table. Okay, when they power bombed him through the announce table, that announce table should have broken, right? And it didn't for some reason. I don't know what happened there, but here's the deal. I'm looking at Adam Cole and who trained him. Guess what? Al Snow trained him. Shawn Michaels trained him. Les Thatcher trained him. Some very good professional wrestlers. Shawn Michaels. You would think that being the Shawn Michaels has been one of the top sellers in the history of the sport, he would have learned something from Shawn Michaels about selling it. And the other thing is, you know, Karrion Kross should never have sold that whole thing from Pete Dunne where he appears to break his fingers.
Absolutely not.
He shouldn't have sold that. You know, that's one thing he should never have sold. That's my biggest problem with that, because he obviously somebody told him to sell that. And we all the time talk about Dolph Ziggler and how good a seller he is. And for a long period of time, that was his job. His job was to come in there and sell other people. And it kind of stalemated his career a little while. If we had more guys like that in this match, I like the guys in the match, don't get me wrong. Gargano's great, you know. Adam Cole is great. But they don't sell enough. They didn't sell him the right way.
No, and here's the thing. People are saying to me, well, come on, Adam Cole did so, and so did Kyle O'Reilly, so did Pete Dunne. They all went down. Yeah, but they went down the same when they were hit by guys half his size. See, that's what I'm trying to say to you. Adam Cole went down just as hard when Kyle O'Reilly hit him as he did when Karrion Kross hit him. Incorrect. Because they're so used to that. They're so used to everybody's about approximately my size. That we're all equal. But you're not equal when you're in there against a Karrion Kross. You got to take a look at your opponent. Here's what you have to do as a professional wrestler. You have to take a look at your opponent and say, what exactly is it about this guy that I have to sell? And your opponent has to do the same thing. Now, I remember a feud I had. I was supposed to be a hardcore type wrestler who was not very skilled in actual professional wrestling. More, I was the guy who was bringing in the barbed wire and the thumbtacks and the putting you through tables and not caring what happened to my body. I had to go against a guy who was supposed to be a technical wrestler. Now, back then, hardcore wrestling was really in, and a lot of the fans were rooting for me. But I said to the guy, look, the first part of this match, you got to frustrate the hell out of me with wrestling that I have no real defense for. So the first good 4 or 5 minutes of this match is going to be me trying to pound you and you just simply out-wrestling me like I'm nobody. And me getting more and more aggravated with the fact that he's not fighting me, he's wrestling me, and I don't really know how to wrestle. That way I'm selling that you are a very good technical wrestler and you're running circles around me with the wrestling. But I'm eventually going to get you. And when I get you, your job is to sell, I don't wrestle like this. I'm not used to being thrown around like this. I'm not used to being hit with weapons and put through tables and things, and this is bad for me. And that's the difference between us. We each know what we have to sell. Well, all of you guys in that match last night had to sell that Karrion Kross is A, not to isn't going to oversell your offense because he's too big. And you chopping him is not the same thing as you chopping a guy your size. You punching him is not the same thing as you punching a guy your size. You kicking him is not the same thing as you kicking a guy your size. On the other hand, what you got to sell is when you get hit by him, it's not like being hit by a guy like your size either. You didn't do it. Karrion Kross oversold, if anything. Can you imagine with a guy with his gimmick, when he first came in with this whole TikTok thing and the raven flying and the weird black and white entrance and everything, can you imagine that character begging off before Pete Dunne, a 5'9", 190-pound guy, is going to break his finger? I mean, if you really wanted to sell Karrion Kross, you know what you do? You have Pete Dunne grab him, break his finger, he sells it for a second, snaps it right back in, and just gives him a look like, yeah. And then Pete Dunne sells it and says, Jesus Christ, I broke his finger, he snapped it right back together, or at least I dislocated his finger, he snapped it right back together, he's looking at me like, yeah, what was that? All of those guys, you got to put your ego aside and say, this is professional wrestling. We all got to be scared to death of this guy. To the point where even our worst enemies, we say, you want to team up for a minute? Because we got to get rid of this guy. Ain't no one of us beating this guy. So we're going to have to get rid of him. And once we get rid of him, we'll fight it out amongst ourselves. But, you know, attacking him one-on-one, we're sealing our fate. No, you didn't do that at all. You made it look like one-on-one. Pete Dunne could probably take him after all. Pete Dunne can survive a suplex from him and just pop up like Hulk Hogan. After all, Kyle O'Reilly can take him down with an armbar as if he was 190 pounds, not 270, 300, solid muscle. After all, one Adam Cole super kick knock him down like he was made out of cardboard. All of this should have been undersold, so the announcers could have said, this guy, I mean, you're taking a look at a guy who's taking a finishing maneuver from, you know, these guys, and he's shrugging it off. How in the blue hell are you supposed to beat him? Who the hell is going to beat this guy? At the end, they said that. Who's going to beat him? I don't know any one of those guys in the match. Looked like they were very able to. As a matter of fact, several times they had him beat, and somebody else broke it up. So what are we left with? We're left with the assumption that if there weren't other people in the match, the smaller guy would have beat Karrion Kross. Almost every single person in that match, at some time or another, had Karrion Kross in position where if it wasn't broken up by somebody else, they would have won the belt. That's terrible booking. It always should have been Karrion Kross would have easily destroyed this guy if it wasn't for the fact that somebody else kicked him off. If these were one-on-one matches, this is not going to fly. Yes, you know what Karrion Kross has to sell? I'll tell you what, because people are asking me, well, then what does he have to sell? These guys are top-level athletes. Here's what Karrion Kross has to sell. I'm trying to finish him off. I think I got him. And he keeps kicking out, or he keeps finding a way. And I'm getting frustrated because these are little guys, and I should be able to snap them in half. And for whatever reason, they're resilient. That's what you sell, their resilience. You sell the fact that, man, why can't I finish this guy off? He's a lot tougher than I thought. You sell the fact that, Jesus, they're quick. They're wearing me down. I'm starting to get winded. I'm beating on these guys, and then all of a sudden I'm backing myself into the corner, puffing and huffing, because I can't hang with their cardio. That's what you're supposed to sell. And that's fine. Karrion Kross did a bunch of selling, but I'm sorry, these other guys did not. And what they did sell, they sold as if they were hit by each other, as opposed to they were hit by Karrion Kross. You understand what I mean, Todd, when I say there's a difference when Adam Cole hits Kyle O'Reilly as opposed to Kyle O'Reilly gets hit by Karrion Kross.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said about this Karrion Kross thing. I'm saying it's the same thing, too. He should have been on the main roster already. I would not have him on the NXT thing, on their brand.
He's not really suited for it. His style of wrestling is not really suited for it at all. It's just not. Now, if you want to change the NXT style of wrestling, then bring in more guys that are suited to this style and try to keep them apart as much as possible. But this is not going to work because you've exposed Karrion Kross's weaknesses, two weaknesses he has. One weakness is he can't hang with NXT-style pace. He can't hang with that pace. Logically, he can't hang with that pace. He's too big. He's too muscle-bound. There's no guy that size going to hang with that pace. Second, and I know people are saying, what about Keith Lee? Keith Lee, watch the matches. Watch the matches carefully. Keith Lee is a freak of nature when it comes to the fact that he's very agile and he's got great cardio for a guy his size. But still, in Keith Lee matches, they're with much smaller opponents, they either slow down a little bit or they create the motion. And then when he's ready, he does his quick stuff and then he backs off a little bit. Anyway, the bottom line of the situation is a muscle-bound guy like Karrion Kross is not. Oxygen has to feed those muscles. Watch a UFC fight, and you see these big muscle-bound guys, and after, like, round one, you know, the oxygen has to feed those muscles, and otherwise those muscles get weak. And when you're muscle-bound, it's worse than if you're just heavy-set. So he doesn't belong in that genre because he can't hang with them. Not in that pace. Finn Balor, look how Finn Balor slowed that pace. Yeah, there were fast parts and followed by long parts of very slow resting type things. So bring him up. But the second weakness he has is he oversells people he shouldn't oversell. And that's going to destroy his career. Why is it Braun Strowman did that? Would Braun Strowman have had the career he had, regardless of whether he's fired or not? Why is it Kane did that? Why is it The Undertaker did that? Those are three people who are very similar to what Karrion Kross is trying to represent. And the idea is they sold, but they undersold, especially when they were smaller guys. In other words, if The Undertaker's up against a Batista, maybe one punch does rock The Undertaker. If he's up against Shawn Michaels, it's not going to happen. And Shawn Michaels is a much better wrestler than Batista, but it's the size that's the difference. The psychology is he's so much smaller. That's why a heavyweight boxer doesn't fight a featherweight. Because even if the featherweight is hitting him with these punches, the heavyweight can absorb it. But if the heavyweight strikes the featherweight, well, hospital time. That's the deal. So these guys did Karrion Kross no favors last night, especially Pete Dunne, who I'm normally raving about. But I'm telling you, it would have come to blows if Pete Dunne, if I had that character and Pete Dunne popped up from my suplex like he was Hulk Hogan. And then after I sold oversold him trying to snap my finger, we'd have had a fight for real. Because that's called, I respect your offense and you're not respecting mine. Now, maybe that was booked. But whoever booked it's an idiot then. I don't know, Mike. Karrion Kross's career, I think, took a big hit last night, even though he won. He looked bad in winning, which is very, very, very bad to do.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, look, you know, the whole thing, they need to bring both of those up because she kind of fit. It's almost kind of a package deal. If you're going to bring him up, you got to bring Scarlett up as well because, you know, they fit.
Yeah.
And really, he should never say a word. She should be the one doing the talking.
I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. He should have just, I mean, if he says anything, it should be just a few words. To sit there and literally say, I'm not done with you. You think this is over, Adam Cole, you son of a bitch. That's not what it. Did Kane do that? Yeah, I know. Later in his career, he did comedy stuff and everything. That's later in his career, once he's established. When you're first trying to establish yourself, and this is your image, you have to protect that image. And the way to protect that image is to say, well, who am I supposed to be? See, the problem is you don't know who he's supposed to be. They gave him this gimmick, and he's like, okay, I don't know, whatever. I'll just walk out and make faces. Then eventually they said, oh, well, I guess it's not working. Just say what you want to say. And he don't even know how to sell this. You know, he didn't even know how to sell this. Didn't he? I don't know, but didn't he say, like, I'm most worried about Kyle O'Reilly? Why would you be worried about anybody? This should have been the guy who said, I want all five of you at once, and I'm going to stack you up and beat you. You're like flies around King Kong. I'm just going to swat you down. It's, well, I'm a little worried about the please, you've destroyed your character. Maybe they told you to do it. Maybe they told you to abandon this character. It's not working. NXT people don't like character-based wrestling, I guess, or whatever, but... You had a cool entrance. You had a cool character. It was, you looked kind of mean and you looked kind of whatever. With a little more effort, you could have had a really, really cool character who probably would have went over big in WWE. Now, unless you instantly bring this guy up and rehab it, here's the things you got to do. Number one, limit what he says on the microphone and script every single thing he says. Two, explain to him that you are to undersell until we tell you the underselling is over, or until logically you're up against somebody who there's no way you can undersell. We don't expect you to undersell, you know, Roman Reigns. We don't expect you to undersell Brock Lesnar. We don't expect you to undersell big guys. But if you're in there against Sami Zayn, you better be underselling. You're in there against Rey Mysterio, you better be underselling, even though he's a legend, because you can sell he's quicker than you. You can sell you can't catch him. You can sell he's annoying you and wearing you down, but you can't sell one punch from him like you got hit by Mike Tyson. Because it undermines your character. You should know that already. See, everybody's afraid of insulting somebody. Everybody's afraid of, well, Adam Cole punched me and I sort of undersold it and now he's mad because, well, you know, I'm a top guy. Yeah, you're a top guy, but you're also a tiny guy. There's plenty of stuff I would sell to an Adam Cole, but you can't sell one punch. You can't sell one kick if you're Karrion Kross. You just can't. You just can't. So his worth and his character, as far as I'm concerned, and he's the champion, by the way, has been greatly damaged. Now, if you take all that away, these guys put on a really good match when Karrion Kross wasn't involved. There was a lot of fast-paced wrestling. There was a lot of unique offense. These guys are very good at what they do, and they're very, very good at their moves. But the one thing that seems to have eluded them, and I don't know how, if they're trained by guys like Shawn Michaels, the one thing that seems to have eluded them is the psychology. And your psychology has to change. Shawn Michaels was the master of that. Anybody who doubts me on that, just go back and watch Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker and then watch Shawn Michaels versus Rey Mysterio. Totally different people. And he sold them totally differently. In his match against The Undertaker, he's selling, what do I have to do? I've hit him with everything. I got to stay away from him because one swat of his hand has knocked me completely over the top rope backwards. I've never been hit like that in my life. I'm deathly afraid of him. I'm going to have to try low offense, going to have to try to wear him out. When I get a spot where it looks like I'm wearing him down, I got to be relentless because if I let up for 1 minute, he's going to get me. That's what Shawn Michaels sold. The Undertaker on Shawn Michaels sold, he's tougher than he looks. I've hit him with things, and he's managed to kick out or get his foot on the ropes. He's a lot tougher than he looks for a guy his size. That's what you got to sell if you're The Undertaker. Then he goes against Rey Mysterio, and for the first time, Shawn Michaels is selling, he's quicker than me. He's more agile than me. He's actually faster than me. And that's my main offense, is that I'm fast. I'm lightning, but he's more than lightning. And it's frustrating because I'm normally not that guy who gets outmoved. He sold that completely. And Rey Mysterio sold, yeah, I'm quicker than him, but I'm not a better wrestler. He's very cunning and clever, and he lures me into traps. That's what Rey Mysterio sold. That's good psychology. You got to figure that out before the match starts. What is it that I'm supposed to sell about my opponent? What is it that I want people to understand about my opponent? So whether I'm winning or losing, they come out of there saying, that's the way this guy is, as opposed to the way I am. And your opponent has to do the same thing with you. That's not happening in NXT. It's not happening a lot, actually, in NXT. And that's one of the more frustrating aspects. Now, as far as William Regal appearing to resign at the end of the show, this, from what I'm being told, is to open the door for Samoa Joe to be the new general manager of NXT. That is exactly what the WWE has in mind. And I'm guessing what they're going to do. And this is just a guess. I have no information on this. Nobody does. But I'm guessing what they're going to do is maybe bring him in as a heel. Maybe bring him in as a heel GM. The polar opposite of William Regal, who tried to be fair. And it'll be a very short-lived general manager stint before Samoa Joe gets in the ring and Regal will be somehow reinstated as the general manager, saying you're the only guy who can take control of this, and Joe goes back to in the ring. That would be the logical thing that I would assume. If that's the case, I mean, it's a good move. And again, Joe's back for whatever. I mean, you know, that makes WWE look stupid. But at least Joe's back. And Joe's really good on the mic. He's very good in the ring. He would add a lot to NXT. And he's a guy that you could put up against Karrion Kross and you have a really good match because Joe will understand what he has to sell. And it's going to be about the same pace. See, a lot of these NXT guys back when Joe was around, they did Joe that favor. Now a lot of them are graduated to the main event, the main roster, and these newer guys that are down there have this weird perception that I know I'm only 5'8", I know I'm only 5'9", I know I'm just barely 200 pounds, but you still got to sell me the same way as anybody else sells me or you're slighting me. That's not true. That's not true. I'm doing you the favor if I undersell your offense. Now, I know a lot of wrestlers out there, especially young wrestlers who are just breaking the business, is saying, that's stupid. If you undersell my offense, you're underselling me. No. Because if I undersell your offense, but I still can't finish you off, that makes you look like one tough son of a bitch who's up against a mountain of a person but still won't lose, just refuses to lose. And even if you do lose, it's like, well, Jesus. He put that guy through hell and he's half his size. That's one tough son of a bitch. You know, I wouldn't fault Karrion Kross if Karrion Kross gives Adam Cole a move he thinks is going to finish him and gives him a sloppy cover, and Adam Cole kicks out, and Karrion Kross's eyes are like, what? He kicked out of that? That's how you sell the smaller guy. I can't believe that little guy kicked out of that. No, it wasn't my main finisher, but that should have been enough to finish off a guy his size. That's all the things you have to convey. They didn't do that, Mike, and I just think it hurt the main event in my eyes anyway.
Yeah, it really did, and that's the thing. I mean, that's why I didn't call this match the best match of the card. That's why I called the six-man tag the best match of the card, because really it was a solid match with very few, in my mind, mess-ups. This was very few mess-ups. I mean, look, you look at some of the stuff that what they did with when Bronson got into the ring, the other three guys, and they spent most of the time double and triple teaming him, because he's 340 pounds, and well, what do you expect? That's logical, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. That match sold a big guy the way you're supposed to sell a big guy. That match, they sold the big guy better than the main event sold the big guy. And arguably, although Bronson Reed is a big guy, he's not supposed to be on the level of strength and power and toughness as Karrion Kross, I would imagine. Karrion Kross, you're promoting, the way you're promoting him is like a guy who doesn't really mind pain, is a big, huge, monstrous powerhouse who seems to have unlimited amounts of power, and yet you undersell him, but Bronson Reed, you're bumping like crazy for, because he's big. Well, see, that's the problem. You got to know the characters. You got to understand what it is. It doesn't matter. If the guy's 5'2", and the promoter says, okay, here's the deal. He's 5'2", but he ate some kind of special whatever, and he has the strength of like 20 people. Then I have to sell that. Then I have to get in there and take huge bumps for this little guy, because that's his gimmick. And if I don't, I'm ruining his gimmick. So it doesn't even matter whether he actually is more powerful. It's irrelevant. What's relevant is, what is the character you're promoting, and how do I add to that character? And if he's a good professional wrestler, he'll add to mine. That's what you have to do. They didn't do that to Karrion Kross last night. I'm very disappointed in Pete Dunne. I can't believe when he popped up from that thing as if he was unaffected by that suplex, I said, well, that's the end of Karrion Kross. You've just destroyed Karrion Kross. With the equivalent of The Undertaker giving you, like, not his finisher maybe, but The Undertaker giving you a big boot or something, you're just like, no, and you're Shawn Michaels. That never happened. And Shawn Michaels would have never done that in a bazillion years. Shawn Michaels didn't even like Sid. I was at an event where Shawn Michaels, because it wasn't on film, was not in a very good mood. And people were chanting, we want Sid. And he literally said, I had to carry that fucking stiff for so many matches. If you don't like what I'm doing, get the fuck out. He was really mad at a fan because a fan was saying Sid's better than you and Sid carried you. And he was saying, yeah, you better watch the match. I carried Sid. He didn't even like Sid. And he did the right thing. So what was this pay-per-view to me? Well, listen, it was very average. The matches that were good were very good, but I wasn't necessarily interested in the characters. That's a big problem. The matches that I was somewhat interested in the characters, there was a lot of flaws. So that left me with really the ladder match, which I think was not the best match of the night, but it was the most important match. And that was good. That they did that the right way. I'm going to say it's right in the middle. I'm going to give it a C. I don't think it was the quality of most of the takeovers at all, Mike.
I'll give it a C as well. And that's with the fact that I still think that the six-man match was the best match of the night because everybody sold everybody else the way it was supposed to be sold.
I would agree with you that it was probably the best, technically the best match, but what was the match that you were most interested in?
Of course, the million-dollar belt ladder match.
That's right, because those characters are so strong. Todd, what do you give this?
I'm going to go with Mike there and you, and the match that was most important of the night was the ladder match for the million-dollar belt, for the million-dollar championship.
Yeah, there's no question, because we cared about the characters, you know? There was actually a chant going out, because if you remember right, when they first got into the ring, Eli Drake was upset that he wasn't the guy getting cheered. And I said, that's very interesting. Eli Drake is selling that more. Again, there's psychology. Eli Drake fully understands, I'm winning this match, and I'm going to be the bad guy. Cameron Grimes, by default, even though he sort of was a bad guy, Cameron Grimes, by default, is going to basically turn face. So when I hear the chants of Cameron Grimes, I got to turn around like, you're rooting for this guy? Here I am, and I'm an elite athlete, and I'm this, that, and the other thing, and you're rooting for this stupid hillbilly? And by doing that, you're selling Cameron Grimes' character, and you're making him more popular. And that's great psychology. Eli Drake throws Cameron Grimes out and beating him up and says to Ted DiBiase, is this who you want representing you? That's selling Cameron Grimes' character. You know why? Because eventually if Cameron Grimes wins that million-dollar belt and Ted DiBiase goes ballistic over it saying, no, that stupid hillbilly can't have my belt, it all goes back to Ted DiBiase laughing when Eli Drake says, is this who you want representing you? Wouldn't that be embarrassing, you know? That's what he's saying. Wouldn't it be embarrassing? Wouldn't it be humiliating if this hillbilly had your belt? Because maybe they know down the road he's gonna. So they're already setting up for that moment if that happens. They're already setting up for, oh, my God, how humiliating to Ted DiBiase. He gets his comeuppance. That's great psychology. That's why that match was very good. Everybody in that match did the right thing. So, Mike, again, you know, a guy like Eli Drake, L.A. Knight, whatever you want to call him, he fully understands the psychology of professional wrestling.
Yeah, and when you've got two guys, all three of those guys, I think, Teddy DiBiase and Cameron Grimes as well, they all, to some extent, you know, understand the psychology of professional wrestling. And look, here's the deal. Guess who Cameron Grimes was trained by? He trained by the Hardys.
Yeah, well, there you go. Now, see, listen, this was a little bit tough to do because when Ted DiBiase first came in, right or wrong, we were kind of rooting for Ted DiBiase because we said we don't like Cameron Grimes. He thinks he's a big shot. He thinks he's a millionaire now. And Ted DiBiase outdoing him every step of the way. We're like, good, we love Ted DiBiase. He's a classic old character. They had to flip it. It's not so easy to flip it because you already knew, well, the fans are sort of rooting for DiBiase. He's given Cameron Grimes a taste of his own medicine. So what did they do? They've now made it associated with L.A. Knight, who's basically saying he's just a filthy, unwashed hillbilly. He doesn't deserve to wear a million-dollar belt. Ted DiBiase is going to watch. In the next several weeks, Ted DiBiase is going to say the same thing. So glad Eli Drake won because he's the personification of a rich person, and this is just some hillbilly, and if that guy ever had my belt, what a disaster. That's what this is going to lead to. And that's brilliant psychology. The psychology of that last match should have been all four of those guys should have looked at each other and said, we may not like each other. Let's get the big boy out. And they should have beat him for eight straight minutes of that match with him actually fighting them off. So the announcers could say, these four guys, and they're all elite athletes, are attacking Karrion Kross, and he's fighting them off fairly easily. But then they wear him down. They take him outside. They put him through the table. They then haul him to the in your house thing, throw him right through the window, put some candy glass in there. There he goes through the window. And you could virtually say, I don't care who you are. He's been beaten on by four of the top wrestlers in the world. He's been thrown through a plate glass window. That's the last you're going to see of him tonight. Then, when he comes back, it's, oh, unbelievable. He's come back from this. That works. I was a little disappointed in this pay-per-view, to be honest. It could have been better. Should have been better. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll see you on tomorrow.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.
So continuing with my normal Mr. Nice Guy day, period. First, let me say that I don't care one bit about who it is gender-wise you choose to sleep with, period. That's none of my business, and quite frankly, none of anybody's business except your own, period. However, if you think that makes you special, period, if you think that entitles you to special rights, then you are hiding behind your sexuality like a shield. And I do not respect that. Period. Everyone in the world is entitled to equal rights. Period. No one gets special rights because they are a certain sexuality or a certain ethnicity. Period. That's your game. You've picked the wrong guy because I will never buy into that.
you want. You have to speak up.
No, no.
Okay. I gotta go over town to get some things for our dinner and our groceries. I don't know what we're gonna have for dinner. I'm gonna pick up some groceries.
Down, bask him in the sun. And you suddenly